Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, I'm going to read it out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. When you arrive there, look for verse number 11. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, look at verse number 11. Exodus 33, 11, the Bible says this: And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, one other passage of Scripture, and then I'll let you be seated. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. Isaiah 9, 6. And the Bible says this: For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Tonight, I'm going to teach a lesson that's entitled Four Relationships That We Can Share With God. Four relationships that we can share with God. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight. Help me as I teach. I need my mind to be strong and attached to the truth so it might be properly delivered. Help all of us to pay close attention. And Lord, as a result of the teaching, there are some people here tonight that might need to step up a little bit in their lives, increase their relationship with Thee. Spirit of God, do a work. Again, Lord, my great concern is that You would strengthen my mind so that I'll follow the teaching as it was prepared for this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. In what we just read, you'll see there are four relationships taught. In Genesis 1:1, it told us in the beginning, God created. You see, God is the creator. Then it tells us in the beginning, it was God that did the creating. So He's the creator. He's God. When we read Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, it spoke of Him as the everlasting Father. So He's a creator. He's God. He calls Himself Father. Then, in Exodus 33:11, when we read it, it talked about Him being a friend. So, our God, He's the Creator, He's God, He's Father, and He's friend. All of those positions, if you will, are just a little bit different. Each of those scripture that I gave you is the first time in the Bible where you see God referred to in that light. Genesis 1:1, obviously, He's the creator. First time He's called creator. Genesis 1:1, He's called God. First time He's called God. In Isaiah 9:6, you see it's the very first time in the Bible where He is called our Father. In Exodus 33:11, it's the very first time in the Bible where God is called a friend. Now, those relationships can be found elsewhere in the Bible. He's called the Creator in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. He's called God in Isaiah 45, 22. He's called Father in Romans 8, 15. He's called Friend in Proverbs 17, 17 and Proverbs 18, 24. But those four titles, Creator, God, Father, Friend, illustrate for us relationships that we can have with God. God wants us all to be as close to Him as possible. He wants us to have those four relationships with Him. Now, I've told you God's part in the relationship. Let me talk to you about yours. He's the Creator, which means you're the created. That happened when you were born. He's the Creator. We are the created. We're the creatures, if you will. And that happened at birth. God is the second title. We have the chance to be His people, which takes place at salvation. Father is His title. which makes us a child, which takes place when we begin to behave like part of the family, which in essence takes place when we begin to separate from bad in our lives. We start taking on, you know, we're called Christians. You know what the word Christian means? Christ-like. You're part of the family. So there's the Creator, we're the created or the creatures. There's God, and we are His people. There's Father, and we are His child at the moment of separation. And then He's friend, and He wants us to be His friend. That takes place when we begin to serve Him and become productive in our Christian life. God wants you not only to be one of His creatures, He wants you to become one of His people. He would like to see you take on a child relationship with Him, and He really wants to be your best friend, and He wants you to be His friend. We're going to look at those relationships. There is a growth process that's taking place in what I'm about to teach. Relationship number one, Creator and the created. Genesis 1:1, we read it earlier. It says, in the beginning, God created. Birth starts that relationship. Everybody believes that they were created. Nobody thinks we just suddenly appeared. Now, you were not evolved from a monkey. Evolution is not just an option. It's a devil's lie. But you were created. And everybody that's ever been born has this relationship with God. He's the Creator, and they're the created. You say, but I know people that don't believe that. Doesn't matter what they believe, whether they like it or not. He's the Creator, and they are the created. Now, I'm going to use some chairs to help me illustrate. This chair is going to represent God. This chair is going to represent man. God sat here and He created man. When God created man, He wanted to be with man. God wanted man to spend his life praising God, serving God. They were friends. Boy, in the beginning, did they ever share a wholesome, wonderful relationship. And they're heading, notice, this is God heading in that direction. This is man heading in that direction. They're going to heaven. That's exactly how it all started out. The Creator and His friend. He's always been Creator. He's always been God. He's always been Father. He has always been friend. Now, man's the one that gets a little fickle and starts goofing everything up. But in the beginning, when God did the creating, God and man were right there together. God had said, let us create man in our image, and we're going to spend eternity together, and it's just going to be wonderful. Well, then, man sinned. And when man sinned, man basically turned his back on God and separated himself from God. So, if I may, I'm going to take the man chair, and I'm kind of moving him. Remember, man started out right here. God said, I'm creating man to praise me, to be with me, to love me, to serve me, and in all eternity. But man sinned, and when man sinned, man turned his back on God, and man, the one that put the separation between God and man was not God, it was man. Now, man is going the opposite direction. That direction, heaven. That direction, hell. This is Creator created. But man turned his back on God. And so, let me show you the next step. Now, man needs something. Man's in trouble. He's separated himself from God. The next relationship is God and His people. This is created, All right, this is creator and created. God created man. And remember, everybody has that relationship. Everybody does. When man fell, turned his back on God, separated himself from God. Now, this relationship of becoming God's people, that happens at salvation. You remember in Genesis 1:1, it said, in the beginning, God created. There you see the creator. There you see God. Someone who realizes that they are the created, and then they will give credit to God for that creation. So he is not just the creator, but he becomes, by way of salvation, their God. So first relationship, created, or the creator and the created. But when man fell, man put a distance between himself and God. He turned his back on God. Folks, God created you to praise him. God created you to spend an eternity with him. But because of sin, we're now heading toward hell. We're not going to spend our eternity in heaven. We can't praise him. We're going to be in hell. Now, God's going to do something about that. So he has a plan called the salvation plan. So God's created fell. And now, at salvation, God is going to make it so that we can again become one of his people. Right now, we're not saved. We're on our way to hell. We've turned our back on God. We're heading the wrong direction. God wanted us to go that direction. He wanted us to spend an eternity with him. We blew it. Mankind blew it. At salvation, you then get the opportunity to become one of his people. Why? Well, he created you to praise him. You can't do that in hell. He created you to serve him. You can't do that in hell. He created you to be with him for all eternity. You can't do that in hell. So God wants to help you to become one of his people so you can go to heaven. Now, remember this. He always has been the creator. He always has been God. He always has been our father, or he's been a father. He always has been a friend. All right. Now, so we get saved. And when we get saved, what happens? We're going to go. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I wasn't doing anything for God. I couldn't praise him. I couldn't spend eternity with him. But Jesus saved me, which does this for me. It gets me going in the right direction again. Now, I started out up there, and that's what God wanted in the first place. Mankind blew it. But God said, I'm not going to leave you there. I want to help you. So the creator and the created had a problem, and it wasn't the creator's fault. Now, I get to become at salvation one of God's people. Have you ever heard the liberals say, well, we're all God's people? Oh, no, we're not. Oh, no, we're not. We are all God's creation. Every human being is God's creation. But wait a minute. The lost who sit in this chair, they are not one of God's people. You get saved and you become one of God's people. So, remember, the creator, the created. The created fell, turned his back on God, separated himself from God. Can't praise God, can't worship God, can't spend eternity with God. God said, I got to fix this. Jesus died, buried, resurrected, made salvation available. I can go from being a creature to one of his people. That's exactly what God's trying to accomplish. Now, you know, salvation is not just believing that there is a God. Do you know the Bible says in James 2:19 that the devil believes there is a God? Don't you think that the Bible says the devil knows of God and trembles? But he's not one of God's people. Just believing there is a God is not salvation. It's when you make him your God. Jesus becomes your Savior. So, folks, did you know that all the saved people in the world are God's people? They all are. So I wonder if they go to a Catholic church. Well, if they ever trusted Jesus Christ in a pure fashion to take them to heaven, they're God's people. That doesn't mean they're all right with God. We all are his creatures. Not everybody is one of his people. All the saved are one of his people. But the only difference is they're not going to hell anymore. There's more to life than just getting saved. Because there's a distance yet between me and God. There's some things that need to happen. So, Creator created a fall. I leave just being created. I trust him. And now I get to be one of his people. There may be someone in this room right now. You believe God created you, but you've never been saved, so you are stuck right here. You're a created person. You might even say, well, I believe there's a God. Believing there's a God does not save you. Trusting the God that you believe in, you trusting his son as Savior, that's how you become one of his people. All right, now, next. There's a third relationship. And that relationship is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, where it said that he would become, or he was, the everlasting Father. Father. You say, when does that happen? It happens at the time of separation. Creatures who trust him become his people. His people who separate from doing bad become his children. You say, no, he said, Brother Owens, I think anybody that's saved is one of God's kids. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. They're not acting like it. You understand the word Christian? You know what it means? Christ-like ones. You know, there are people that are saved, they're not Christians. This is a little complicated for some of you. You can be saved and not be a Christian. The definition of the word Christian means Christ-like. Don't anybody here know someone that is, say they're saved, but they don't live anything like Jesus? You're almost ashamed to hear them go around saying, I'm a Christian. Now, could they be saved? Sure. They can be saved, but they're not like Christ. So, we start out in perfect shape. We fell. We distance ourselves from God. We turned our back on God. Now, we're just the created, but we got saved, so we became one of his people. Then he said, I want you to step up. I don't want you to be just saved. I don't want you just to be going to heaven. I'm trying to get you back in a productive position in life. I'm trying to help you to qualify and to accomplish some things. So, he says to us, I would like for you to stop doing things that give the family a bad name. We use the term separation. Don't let that term scare you. Everybody believes in separation. Everybody does. You say, I don't like separation. Sure you do. There's not a woman in here that goes to the bathroom in the men's restroom. You believe in separation. You just want to pick what you believe. So, we become his children. Now remember that third relationship, father-child. Now, don't get me wrong. He has always been the creator. He has always been God. He has always been father. He has always been friend. The problem does not lie in what he is. The problem lies in what we are. You see, we're the ones that messed up. We're the ones that were merely created beings because of sin. We got saved and we stepped up from just being one of his created beings to becoming one of his people. Now, if you want to stay right here, you say, I'm going to be saved, but I'm not going to live for God. You want to stay right here, you could, and you may go to heaven, but you're going to miss out on a lot of wonderful things down here and a whole lot of blessing and reward up there. And God said, how would you like to be more than just saved? If you would stop doing things that give the family a bad name, you could step up and you could start acting like one of my children. That is accomplished by separation. When we separate, we stop doing the things that give the family a bad name. I think there are people here, you're saved, but you know how, but you've not separated. And let me tell you something. I'm one of God's people. Do you know who's right here? I look like them. I act like them. Same entertainments. Same music. I'm right there with them. God never intended it to be that way. Saved people are supposed to be doing what it takes to become what they need to become so that they are Christian. Christian. So if you're not careful, you're saved, but you're right by the lost person. You dress like them. You talk like them. You act like them. You run with them. You listen to their music. You tell their jokes. You follow their heroes. You read their books. You follow their entertainment. You should want to allow God to be pleased with his child. Don't just be one of his people. Be his child. I'll tell you something. Last year at homecoming, I remember this very vividly. We had a packed house. And please don't misunderstand this, but we had a packed house. And there were all sorts of people that were meeting me, and I was meeting them. And I'm looking at all the people that are here. But, you know, we had a guest, and my daughter was walking by, and I stopped, and I said, let me introduce you to someone special. I want to introduce you to my daughter. This is my child. Now, all I want you to know is this. All the people that were here were saved people. But I had a special connect with my daughter. She carried, until Ellswick stole her, she carried my name. Look, there's way too many Christians that get saved and they don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand that there's a little more to the Christian life than just getting born again. You're supposed to get saved, and when you step into the child position, you stop doing the things that give the family a bad name. You take the bad out of your life because you're one of God's kids. You say, well, I don't have to take that bad out of my life to be saved. No, you don't. You get saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, you did not work to save yourself. He did all the saving. But then he said, I saved you, but remember, the salvation is on the inside. Nobody can see it. You know what he'd like? He'd like some of what's on the inside of you work to the outside of you so you didn't look like, talk like, smell like this person, but you step up and they say, I know who you belong to. You're an Owens kid. You're a Young. You can look at Gabriel Young and tell that he belongs to his mom and dad. He looks like a Young. So, that's not so great, Brother Young. That was a prayer request on Gabriel's behalf. See, now you're not only going in the right direction, now you're closer to where God wants you. When you come to the point when you want You want to not disappoint your father. You don't want, see, listen, folks. You don't want just a savior. You want him to be like a daddy to you. And you're going to submit to him as a child would to a dad. I know people that are saved that basically they say, I'll take salvation, but you can leave the rest of it behind. I don't mind the free gift of heaven, but you're not getting anything out of me. Wait a minute. Salvation, he gave it all to you. Now you ought to be willing to give something to him. So, Creator always has been. God, he always has been. He always has been. Father, he always has been. Every one of these relationships. The problem is you and I. So, let me read a verse to you. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this very carefully. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I realize there's an application here to the Jewish people, but listen to the concept that's taught. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, do you understand the three-step process that I just taught you? That verse that we just read, it says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. There's rejection, and there is the created. But to as many as received him, what's that? Salvation. Now I'm one of his people. To them gave he the power to become what? Sons. Creator. He becomes our God. We grow and we let him be our Father. We were created, but we're just a creature. But we get to become one of his people. And guess what? We begin to realize we're not just one of God's people. I'm his kid. I'm his kid. I don't want to do anything to bring shame. I want to look like him. I want to act like him. I want to behave like him. I want to take anything out of my life that would shame the family name. Let's go on. There's another relationship. We read from Exodus 33, verse 11, where God is called friend. Moses and God shared a friendship. And hey, do you understand? God doesn't want to just be your creator. God doesn't just want to be God. You know, little impersonal. God said, I want to be Abba. I want to be Daddy. Let me tell you what else God said. I don't want to just be like a dad to you. I'd like to be your best friend. That's where we're heading. Hey, that's where we started. He said, let us create man in our image. He basically was saying, I'm going to give you free rights to everything. Okay, so in Exodus 33:11, we're told about friendship. You say, where does that come? That comes when we begin to serve him. The father-child was a step away from doing bad. We're taking the bad out of our life. Friend is when we start doing the good. So when I said, I don't want to just be one of his people, I'm going to take the bad things out of my life which give the Christian family a bad name. But wait, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not only going to stop doing the bad, I want to start doing good. And that is where the friendship relationship will take you. The child stops doing things against God. The friend then starts doing good things for God. Let me read to you from John chapter 15, verse number 14. The Bible says this. Ye are my friends. Any of you know what it says? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It didn't say ye are my friends if you get saved. Doesn't even say ye are my friends if you stop doing the things you shouldn't do. He said, I expect a little more out of that. Yeah, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So remember, I went from just merely being saved to wanting to have a daddy relationship, and I don't want to do anything to bring shame to the family name. But wait, I don't want to just take the bad out. I want to put the good in, and I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I want to add a bunch of good things in my life. That's called service. Now, why did he create us? Well, he created us to glorify him and to praise him and to be with him. Could we do that in hell? No. So he said, I'll save you. If you'll let me become your God, your Savior, I'll save you and I'll take you to heaven. But if you'd like, you could step up and you could become like one of my kids. I'll adopt you. But if you want, you don't have to just take the bad out of your life. You could start doing good things and add good in your life. And the way I see it, said God, you'll be my friend if you'll do that. See, to be a friend to God, I need to help him with his work. I need to serve him. I'm his friend. I want him glorified. I'm his friend. I want him praised. Hey, I am so glad I got saved. I was originally created to go to heaven. I was originally created to praise God. I was originally created to bring glory to God. I fell. I turned my back. I distanced myself from God. And he said, I don't want you to stay there. I'll save you. So I'll accept you as my God. Well, you get to be my people. He said, how'd you like to have a little bit more? I'd like to treat, I'm a dad too. How would you like to become a family member and I'll treat you like a child? I'll take it. What do you want me to do? Take anything out of your life that's unbecoming. I'm going to call you a Christian. You're supposed to be like my son Christ. Hey, what do you think about that? And God said, how'd you like to be my friend? I said, you mean I get to be a friend to you like you're a friend to me? And God said, yes. Well, what do I do? Now you not only take the bad out, but you put the good in. And now you start, here you were not productive. Here you're going to become productive. You're going to get something accomplished for me. In John chapter 15, verse number 8, we were created, remember, we were created to glorify God. In John 15, 8, it says this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, folks, you understand, you're not a true disciple if you're not creating something for God. It's just like you say, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian if you're acting like Jesus. Now, you may be saved. You may be one of his people. But being his people does not make you behaving like a child, nor does it make you behaving like a friend. So now he said, herein is my Father glorified, if you bear much fruit. Now, Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So God said, you're going to, if you want to glorify me, bear fruit. If you want to be my friend, you do whatsoever I command you. You were created to glorify me. Now, if you want to glorify me, you ought to bear fruit in the Christian life. And so, let me show you what I think God wants. I think man fell, separated himself from God, turned his back on God. Now, man's on his way to hell. He can't glorify God. He won't be in heaven with God. And everything is going astray. But Jesus made it so we could be saved. So we accept him as God. We become one of his people. We step up and we separate from the bad in our life so we don't give the family a bad name. And I become like a child to my heavenly Father. And then, finally, I decide, God, I don't want to just separate from the bad in my life. I want to put the good in my life. And I would like to glorify you. And I would like to give attention to you like you deserve. What do you want from me? He said, well, herein am I glorified if you bear much fruit. Okay, God, what do you want? I want to be your friend, God. What do you want? Oh, you want me to go with you? Sure. What are we going to do? Oh, so we're going, God and I are teaming up, and we're going to the lost creature, and we're going to tell them how to be saved so that they can become one of his people. Then we're going to help them to take the bad out of their life so they have a child relationship. Then we're going to teach them how to become a friend so that they too can glorify God. Brother Edwards, put your Bible down there. Come up here. You're going to be God for a second. Terrible, terrible illustration. Here's God. And God and I say, God, I want to be your friend. And God says to me, if you want to be my friend, then what you need to do, you all are holy enough and religious enough to understand God deserves glory, right? I mean, any religion would say, yeah, glorify God. Well, what glorifies God? He said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. I'm supposed to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So I say, God, what do you want if I'm going to be your friend? He says, well, come with me. So we're going to go back here to a lost person. And we're going to go to the creature and convince the creature they need to become one of God's people. And I don't have to do this alone. God's going to go with me because this is his plan. He put this all together. And so then God says, well, then we're going to grow them. And I want them to experience a child relationship. And we're going to separate from the bad in their life. And then I want them to become a friend. God, you have a seat here. Jonathan, put your Bible down and come up here. Oh, set right there for me. Be a lost man, Jonathan. You do it so well. Okay, so God and I, we go back here and we say, Jonathan, you're just a creature. Ugly creature. You want to become one of God's people? Sure. Come around here and sit here. Now you're one of God's people. Would you like to get the bad out of your life so you don't give the family a bad name? Sure. Come up here. Have a seat there. How would you like to glorify God? Oh, sure, I want to be his friend. So you come up here and sit down. Have a seat there, God. How would you like to really glorify God? Huh? Let's see. Dylan, come on up here for a second. Dylan, sit there in the seat with the lost guy, facing that direction. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to, I told you, if you want to glorify God, there's something God wants. There, he said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So here's what we're going to do. How about me and you and God? Let's go see if we can find somebody. Dylan, it's Jonathan. Jonathan would like to glorify God. Wouldn't you like to not be lost and wouldn't you like to be saved and become one of God's people? What do you think, Jonathan? Good idea? Yeah, okay, Dylan, come over here. You can get saved. Sit right there. This is fun. Hey, God, you like this, God?
I really like it.
I knew you would like this. Okay, now, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd like for you to become God. God can be a dad. He's a great God. He just shouldn't have to be this impersonal God. He can become your dad. How would you like that? You like that? Come up here and sit down. Now he takes the bad out of his life. He wants to remove anything that would bring his Savior harm or shame. But we could even do one better than that. We don't want to just take the bad out. Let's put the good in so we glorify God even more. Come up here and have a seat. God, you have a seat. That's how God intended to save the world. Now, you guys can all have a seat. Thank you very much. But the teaching's not over. So, I go to the creature and convince him to become one of God's people. I'm patient and grow him till he begins to behave like a child. Then I explain to him he could be a friend of God and become productive in his Christian life. Now, you know, you might say, well, Brother Owens, this separation stuff, couldn't I just be one of his people and witness? Well, you could, but I'm just going to tell you something. If you look like the lost guy, talk like the lost guy, act like the lost guy, dress like the lost guy, you party like the lost guy, you cuss like the lost guy, then you turn to the lost guy and say, I've got something you need. He says, you're just like me. No, 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 no. I'm not just like you. He can't tell the difference. That's one of the reasons why God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's one of the reasons why, hey, if you're just going to be people and you're going to try to witness, you can try that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you step up to here and you take the bad out of your life, then you come back here and you begin to talk to him, it's going to make a bigger impact. I will guarantee it. Most of the people that are attracted to Christianity seen a Christian. They can't see the Jesus in you. So he needs to come out. And he's big enough to change the outside of you, not just the inside of you. And so, God always has been God. Always been the creator. He's always been daddy. He's always been a friend. We are the problem. There are people in here. You're backslidden. You say, how so? You used to be a friend. You used to tell others about Jesus and get them saved. You used to. But you don't anymore. You used to be a productive friend of God. You backslid. You know what you backslid to? Right here. You're one of his children. Are you productive for God? Do you get people out of hell? Do you get people saved? No, you don't do that anymore. And here's what you'd say to me. Well, I'm not a drunk. I know. You've kept the bad out of your life, but you haven't put the best things in. So you backslid from being a soul winner, interested in the souls of men, to a clean Christian. And look, I'd rather you be here than back there. But wait a minute. There's some of you. You have backslidden from a separated life, and you're back here. You know better. You knew about telling people about Jesus. You stopped it, but you said, I'll just keep a clean life. Huh. Now you don't even do that. Matter of fact, when you're away from the preacher and away from church, we can't even tell your behavior is any different than this guy. You gave up your standards. You gave up your soul winning. You gave it all up. Now, here's the good thing. You can't backslide any further. That's because God said, that's it. I will not let you get any further away. Maybe you used to be a soul winner. Maybe you used to serve me. Maybe you used to be productive. Maybe you used to teach Sunday school. Maybe you used to be on a bus route. You gave that up and you slid back where you had a decent, clean life and you were coming to church and you were trying to be a good Christian. But if you backslid from there and you came to here, he said, you may live like an animal and you may live like a lost person, but I love you so much I will never take your salvation away from you. You better thank God. Some of you better thank God you cannot backslide from his people to being just one of the creatures. Because you can't lose your salvation. The Bible says this. Let me read a verse to you in Romans chapter 11. I think I can find it here. In Romans 11, verse number 1, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God forbid. He never throws out his people. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. Oh, but once you become a friend, you're not always a friend. Once you're behaving like one of his kids, you don't always behave like Christians. You didn't have to do anything to get saved. So because you don't have to keep it, you get to keep it. Friendship to God must be maintained. Behaving like one of his kids must be maintained. He maintains salvation. You say, why? He knew we would screw that up too. And he loved us too much to let that happen. And always remember, and I'm almost finished. You say, brother, why don't you keep saying the same thing over and over again? Yeah, I want you to learn it. I want you to understand it. We started out and we were going the right direction. Adam and Eve, they were going the right direction. I mean, they were living in perfection. Man turned his back on God and separated himself from God. When he did that, God didn't want that to happen. God wanted man to glorify him, and God wanted man to be with him in eternity. But when man was on his way to hell, God said, that breaks my heart. I'm going to get a plan. He sent his son. He died for us, was buried for us, resurrected for us. And God said, if you'll trust my son, if you'll accept him as your savior, which Jesus is God come in the flesh. He said, I will cease to be just your creator, and I can become your God. Then, if you'll do the things that Hey, take the bad things out of your life so you're not an embarrassment to the family. But be a Christian. I can use you. You could become my friend. And finally, you are back where God wanted you in the first place. But remember, you got to maintain this. You got to maintain this. He maintains that. There are four steps that I think God would like to see us go through. And somebody else might word it a different way, and somebody else might teach it a different way. But I'll guarantee you, God wants you to get saved, get cleaned up, and get productive, and stay there. Now, if you have backslidden from there to here, somebody here needs to push the reset button and say, you know what? I'm just not going to be a clean Christian. I want to be a clean, productive Christian. And so you know, one of the reasons he cleaned you up was to use you. He didn't clean you up so you could walk around saying, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. He cleaned you up to use you. If you've backslidden, if you used to have standards and separation in your life and you've backslidden to back here, some of you, you need it. You say, well, I'm saved. Yes, you are. But, you know, that is, for a Christian, if that's all you have, it's a wonderful thing. But God deserves better. He deserves better. So, let's experience and enjoy the relationships. And remember this, God is all for. The problem is not God. The problem is me and you. And you know what we all do? We all move every once in a while just a little bit. You might need to push the reset button and some things in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Think for a moment. Where are you truly in this series of relationships? Where are you with God? Is it possible that you need to fix something in your own life? Maybe you need to step up. Maybe you backslid. Four relationships that we can share with God. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I've learned something tonight. I can see that in what I've learned, it challenges me. There might even be some changes necessary in my life. I might need to fix something up a little bit in my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, I see something. I may need some adjustment here. God bless you. May put your hands down. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, all you are is a created being of God. You are not one of God's people. You don't become his people till you truly receive him as God. If you're just saved and that's it, some of you need to step up. Stop doing the things that give the family the bad name. See, I'm a real clean person. Okay, why don't you decide then to become a productive clean person? I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to step up in your relationship? Remember, if you are just his people, you look like the person from the world. You drink like them. You dress like them. You act like them. You talk like them. You know something? The reason for separation is so that you can glorify God and become productive in your life. Rarely do I find worldly, carnal Christians that are productive for God. You go to the churches where everybody's worldly. They don't have people saved all the time. They just don't. Everybody that's saved is God's people, but not everybody that's saved are behaving like Christians. And they're certainly not all God's friend. He's God. He's the creator. He's the father. He's the friend. The struggle's with us. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll prepare, if there are extra prayer bulletins, we want to grab them and have them ready.